Good morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and joining us as he does every week at this time, Pensacola Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Glad to be here. How are you doing?
Oh, it's always good to have you. So I wanted to ask you, I was not able to attend yesterday. I had something else come up, but I did want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about this meeting you had yesterday with Tony Ortiz, the president of the Florida League of Cities, who was here in town doing a tour. How did the meeting go? What anything productive come out of it?
Tony is great. I think so. I think it gave us a chance to both talk with some of the press, talk with a group of business leaders, and also he talked to the Downtown Rotary yesterday just about the message of dealing with local issues and asking for people, citizens, to get involved and empower their local governments. So much of what ends up happening at the state legislature is we get preempted. I mean, things like this bill that want to deal with home-based businesses, which sounds pretty innocuous in the sense that, again, we have no problem with people working from home that can do so. The challenge is if you have something like you're a mechanic with a garage shop or something else that's going to bring a lot of people into a neighborhood. This is why we have zoning.
Right.
This is why cities do this, to be able to say certain zones are not correct. You can't bring noise into neighborhoods. You can't bring certain businesses and parking into neighborhood to create problems. So when your home business is contained within your home and you don't bother your neighbors, we have no problem with you having a home business. But the minute you start creating other issues, we encourage you to take your business to a properly zoned area. We have plenty of them across the city of Pensacola and all across here. Scambia County has the same thing. But these are the kind of things. A big one, 5G, I mean, has continued to be a big area. People come to us, they get upset because we're here locally. They can come to us, they say, this is what we want you to do. And we say, hey, that's great, but the state legislature has told us we can't do anything about this. So, you know, these are the things that we need the legislature to change and allow local governments to have control and say. I think people clearly want that. They come to us, they want us to get involved. But if we can't get involved because the legislature has said we can't get involved, that we really need them to take that message there. And I think that's a lot of what Tony was talking about. And, again, I always love talking with Tony. Like I said, everybody was there yesterday. I said he's kind of like talking to – he has this great booming Puerto Rican voice. He sounds like Ricardo Montalban. Hmm. I feel like when I'm almost going to Fantasy Island every time he's – you know, he's got this this great voice. So I always enjoy when Tony's here, and it was great to get him to Pensacola.
Yeah, that issue of state preemption is just one of those things that it's so frustrating because it's not the same as, but it feels like when the railroad does something wrong. And there's just nothing you can do about it because they got all of these built-in protections and, you know, they're usually not all that responsive. That's how preemption feels. It's like, we know what's going on, we know what's good for our community, and we can fix it if you just let us, and then, you know, they won't let you. So it's certainly very frustrating. Hey, I wanted to ask you, one of the things that came up in the meeting the other day, and it's not a brand new thing, but it is an urgent thing, these capital improvements to Wahoo's Stadium, the $2 million or so. I understand our obligation. I have no problem objection to that. My only question is, can this get done in time for the beginning of baseball season?
Well, we that was one of the reasons we needed to go to the meeting to that was going to be tomorrow night. But obviously, council wanted some time, and we understand. And that's why we're going to bring it back to them in the first meeting in March. And really, that's, you know, at least us talking with the Wahoos people. They believe they have enough time to work with some things, and if they at least show progress, things like the field, the turf, and the lights, you know, we may be able to get a reprieve on a couple of things to push for another year. But some of the things obviously can get started and get done. They're not going to play until May this year, I believe, is when they're going to start. So we have March and April to get some things done. So those are things we want to get done more than anything else. What I keep trying to stress to the people is what we want is we'd love to see baseball there for another 10 years to lock that up, secure that, and make that happen. The cost and everything is important, but if we stay neutral, it doesn't impact me one way or the other. What I want to see happen, well, the worst thing I think would happen is if the stadium went dead and there was no activity. And clearly that's happened in 40 cities across the United States by what Major League Baseball has done. We don't want to be one of those cities. I think when you look at Mobile, you talk about a financial impact. You have no activity, and you continue to have to take care of your stadium
right.
and pay for it, but you have no – you either have no activity and no revenue to do so. So I think getting this deal secured with baseball and, again, the opportunity to do it for 10 years, which is the maximum, I think is a good thing. I think it's a great thing for the city in really perpetuating – the impact we've had in downtown and
yeah,
the
no
future
doubt.
For a significant amount of time.
No doubt. I mean, it's a live, work, play thing. I mean, you know, it has become part of the identity of this town that we have the Wahoos, that stadium, for all of its different purposes. Even, you know, even if they have to go to turf, okay, I understand. We can live with it. It's not that big of a deal. We're talking to Mayor Grover Robinson, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Mayor, I wanted to ask you a question about the bridge. And, you know, I know we talked about this at our press conference on Monday, but let's imagine that FDOT manages to get us on time with just the two lanes being open for that last mile of the northbound side of the bridge, that one section of the bridge. My concern is if the roundabout and stuff is not going to be done till Memorial Day, how is that intersection going to function between now and then? Is it still going to be 17th is going to be closed off? Is that the temporary plan until that is all done?
Davis, Andrew, I have not seen the plan on that. Like I said, early February, we had a discussion with them. We saw something in January we hated. We had a discussion in February that was a little bit more. It wasn't perfect, but it was better. I really haven't seen what they intended to do, and I've talked with Derek about it, and we're still waiting to see exactly what they do. But there's a variety of things that we've tried to explain would be very challenging. And so I think they're looking at some different things, and we hope that we'll see what's there. We've been saying for a while, this is really going to be important with the landing. Whether the bridge had gotten knocked out or not, we would have had some of these challenges with the landing regardless. So
right.
If it's 2 months from middle of March to the end of May, you know, that's as minimal time as we can make the landing. We obviously want to see the bridge get back open, and we want to see the landing get done as soon as possible.
Mr. Mayor, as you are well aware, Governor DeSantis and Nikki Fried, Commissioner Fried, are in a bit of a contest right now over whether it's appropriate or not to have the flags lowered to half staff in honor of Rush Limbaugh, who, of course, is a Florida resident, if not a native, obviously. The order, as I read it, that came out said to have the flags lowered today in Tallahassee and in West Palm Beach, so I do not think that it covers us in any way. But did you opt one way or the other? Did you consider having the flag lowered? I was curious what your answer on that was.
Well, from our standpoint, we will do whatever the governor instructs us to do. That was one thing. I was very clear and told when I got here that you know, we follow whatever the president and the governor tell us. So if we get told to do something, we will do it. And we have those things. I think there are people locally that we should lower it for half mast, and you know, it's just been one of those things where we don't control that. The governor controls that, and he's in there, and I don't care what the political issue is one way or the other. The person is the governor who it says we obey. So if he issues what he says for us to do, we'll do it.
Very good. You know, and I know a lot of people don't generally think about the fact that cities and counties exist at the will of the state, but I mean, that's kind of the way that it works. They're subsidiary entities.
Absolutely.
All right. I have a crazy question for you that I know we've never talked about before, and I'm just curious to get your answer on it. Devil's Triangle, 9th Avenue, Tippin, and 12th. Okay. Langley, sorry. Everybody knows that it's crazy, and I know it's county property. I mean, I know all that. But you're a fan of the roundabout, okay? You like the idea of roundabouts. We're seeing one come in at the bridge landing. Has it ever been discussed, the prospect of remedying that with – and I know people are screaming at me in their radios right now. That's fine. But every time I drive through that intersection, I think, this is nuts. I mean, this is just nuts every single time. Has a roundabout ever even been looked at for that intersection?
A roundabout was looked at that intersection when I was county commissioner, and I did not support it there. I think there are places where roundabouts can work. I think Langley, the one we did there, I think is a place that can work. I think the bridge is a place that can work. You know, but I think with so many roads coming into that intersection, the size of the roundabout that you would have to make it functional would end up eliminating most of your commercials. You'd have to buy the CVS, I mean, the Walgreens there. You'd have to buy all the where Waffle House is. You'd have to buy all that property to make it big enough to do that. You'd wipe out your commercial and you'd wipe out your tax base. So I'm not sure that's the best way. I think there were other ways that that were looked at that take, if you take the traffic that's coming up, what is Tippin, and you turn it over and you bring it to another intersection on 9th, you make 9th the priority road, you take some other things and move it around, you significantly reduce the amount of people coming into that one signal where all the Bermuda Triangle is.
Sure.
I think that's probably a more sound decision looking long-term at what could be done, especially versus a roundabout, because you would end up eliminating so much of your commercial tax base.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Pretty penny to do that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you're right. I mean, it would have to be an enormous traffic circle. It'd be like the Arc de Pensacola kind of traffic circle in there. And that would take out all – I hadn't been thinking about the size of it, but that makes good sense. All right, well, I was curious, and that's why sometimes I ask those questions, is because it occurred to me, and I figured somebody must have looked at it already, and I'm glad to have that answer. Mr. Mayor Grover Robinson, always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Andrew, as always, look forward to it. You take care. Thank you very much.